You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
And welcome into another edition of Royce Unchained with Patrick Royce. And Patrick,
what a week, man.
Patrick,
what a week.
Are you excited about the week?
What a week to be unchained, man. It's fantastic.
There's a lot to be unchained about.
There's a lot. I got to make a confession, though. I was driving over here this morning at about 10, a little before 10, or no, 11, because you guys were on the air. And you and Danny were shockingly talking about Cousins. And I thought perhaps that I'd heard enough Cousins for a while. And so I just flipped over to the MLB Network to see what, you know, kind of a playoff buildup they might have. And imagine my wonderful surprise that the guest was Rocco. So I said,
"Inside,
yeah, Rocco." I said, "Okay, now when I get over there today for the Twins Day, I'll know who's going to pitch on Friday. Might have a little hint how the injuries are coming along." Unbelievable. It was like 12 minutes, and the hosts, I don't know who the hosts are, they tried every way they could to get one crumb, one little, you know, like when you make a piece of toast and you get a couple of crumbs. They wanted just one of those crumbs. They got nothing. They got nothing from him. He's unbelievable. We don't know who's, we're not going to know until the American League makes them tell him who his starting pitcher is, basically. No idea what the roster is going to be till 9 a.m. Friday. You know, what's the game? 7 o'clock, you know. 10 hours before the game.
Yep.
They got to turn it in. Now, I can see saying, okay, we don't know about Arraez. We know these guys are going to be on the roster. Okay, we're waiting to find out about one other thing. That's what would have been the tradition. Nothing. So the entire media, I don't know when we're going to post this wonderful podcast, but if you happen to be hearing it, don't waste your time driving. Rocco's on at 3 today. You can get there at 4 when the clubhouse opens because there's nothing coming. It's unbelievable. I was telling Jonathan after listening to him, Trump should hire him as his chief of staff. If he wants to plug leaks, this is the guy, right?
Rocco would quit, though. Rocco couldn't take it.
You don't think Rocco could take it?
Rocco would tell him what the strategy is, and then
yeah,
Trump would go,
tell him to be quiet,
go
yeah.
off and say yeah. something, and Rocco would
well,
say, I'm
Rocco
out of here.
Rocco might be the one guy that could get him to not say anything. It's unbelievable.
It's a season-long
it is
consistency of telling
nothing.
Us nothing.
But there have been moments, there's been cracks in the veneer occasionally, right? That you found out just a little bit. It's shutdown time for this playoff series now.
Oh, yeah.
No, nothing. So which I feel sorry for the beat guys and the people writing for the websites and everything down, trying to give a little info to the folks because there is no Twins info to be had.
The highest compliment I can pay Rocco Baldelli is that an NFL team probably would love to hire him.
Oh, yes.
He's football
good. Would he could, you know, he would, you know, he's what Brzezinski's dream right there.
Yes.
Brzezinski and
yes.
Spielman to a degree. He'd be their dream, wouldn't he?
The fact
And
that,
by the way, the next Viking coach, which might be sooner than we think,
yes,
he's going to be one of those guys.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to be
younger.
A new, younger, tell you nothing, everything's positive.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to miss grumpy old Zim because he's the last of the breed.
Absolutely.
Well, look around town. You know, that's the whole new Timberwolves thing is based on the whole on the Twins model, right?
Yep.
And the Wild is trying. You know, Guerin's a little older, but that's positive thinking. Now Boudreaux, even though he's a positive, popular guy, generally speaking, he can still get the red ass and light up his team. He's whoever replaces him is going to be 42-year-old, you know,
extremely positive
guy who's sees not. That's the new trend. It's, I mean, as I've said here, PJ. One reason PJ doesn't drive me as nuts as he used to is because they're coming to him. The world, you know, the rest of the teams in town are coming to him.
It's your whole thing about you won.
Yeah, right.
Everybody won.
Yes.
You've lost.
Oh, yeah.
We've lost.
Yeah, the cranky old guys.
It's over.
Sports Dad and Uncle Pat are...
we're done.
Have been defeated badly.
We're in the basement?
That's right. We're in the basement now. We're in the jailhouse now. Anyway, it's... Rocco, it was hilarious. It was just fantastic. He didn't tell those guys. And I hope I get a chance to just get him for a minute and... tell him that he's got to mail his money back to whatever they're paying him. He's got to give their money
back. I've heard it before. And he tells me the amount of words he uses in saying nothing to me
is impressive. Wow.
Because he'll tell you absolutely nothing, but he'll give you this nice response. The difference is this. Zimmer and Boudreaux at times try and be positive, and you look at them and think to yourself, I'd like to go tell them that I know that they are full of BS. This is not what they mean. But guys like Rocco, you can't even see it.
No. Well, as I've said, the first press conference, I had hopes for him, especially when I asked him a smart-ass question, and he gave me a smart-ass response. And I said, okay, this guy's going to be great. That's it. That's he done. That was it.
Well, I'd like to congratulate you, too, by the way.
He peaked in the middle of November.
Exactly.
You know, he is. But you can't, you can't argue with the process. I have the Manager of the Year vote. I've submitted it, and I never reveal it publicly. But a guy that won 55 games on the road, with this collection, 55 and 26 on the road, unbelievable. Some, the home runs and all that stuff is there's a lot of factors in that. But the fact that and the other thing is he had to be in on creating a bullpen out of what we thought was nothing, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's now they're going into the playoffs. That's their strength.
And they redid it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they took, they had a staple to start with, Rodgers.
Yep.
And then they just build around him.
But they did a hell of a job there.
Mm-hmm.
They all deserve credit.
It is. It is
they
funny.
They just don't tell you anything.
It is funny. You know, Littell's a fairly hard thrower. May's a very hard thrower. Duffy's turned into a hard thrower. I wonder why they had the hots for Dyson. Because... I mean, they were just looking for an arm because what they needed was a lefty.
Said at the time.
Yeah, that Jake Diekman or somebody like that, hard throwing lefty.
They just felt pressure to get one more?
Yeah, I think they did a little bit.
Because that was such a that was up against the deadline.
Yeah, well, and now they ended up. It's going to be interesting. I don't know what action they can take. I don't know
I
how that works.
I asked Falvey last week on the air.
Oh, I bet you're
going to be shocked by this.
I bet you got a direct answer.
We're looking at what we have right now response.
Yeah, right. Well, it is a new world, but you cannot. I'm not complaining here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, to me, it's gone from frustrating to hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he ever gave a good response, I'd have chest pain. So, it might be a shock to the system that an old man like me that's overweight can't take.
Couldn't take it.
Yeah. So, anyway. But it has been a phenomenal season. I mean, it's unbelievable that these guys won 101 games, won 55 games on the road, scored 939 runs. It's been a phenomenal season and enjoy it. And... if Pineda hadn't screwed him up, you'd give him a real shot, against the Yankees.
The series,
now I'd say they got 30%, but it'd be 50-50 if Pineda.
I got to be honest, at this rate, nothing's going to shock me.
Oh no.
If they beat the Yankees, I'm not going to be shocked.
Well, what would, the best thing that could happen is if they somehow stumble through the Yankees and then Oakland beats.
Yep.
Oakland's going to play those guys tough. Oakland to me has got the attitude. Listen. We play in the crappiest stadium in the history of the man.
Yep.
Every time we go to the bathroom, we're afraid that the whole system's going to blow up and we're going to be covered in waste material. We're playing in this dump that they've just played a football game on 10 minutes ago. We're not worried about Cole and Verlander.
Why do they keep doing it, though?
I don't know. But see, about 3 years ago, they were terrible. It looked like, okay. It looked like, okay, all right, it's over. Same thing with Tampa. The year 2017, they were terrible. And it looked like, okay, this, you know, the magic is gone, and they're good. The A's, Rays, a hell of a series. I mean, not a series, hell of a game, though. I'd be very interested.
If I had to rank my favorite home twin series from this year, the Yankee series was one. I think Oakland might be second.
Terrific.
That four-gamer that Rosario, what was the Thursday night game that he hit the home run?
Yeah.
The
Twins were lucky to win one game in that series. They ended up splitting it, right?
That was a hell of a series.
Oh, yeah, it was.
That was good.
But they're, I'm with you. You know, they got guys like Maddo. I mean, the shortstop's fantastic. Semien, he's had a huge year. Olsen,
White Sox, right? He came from the White Sox?
Yeah. Olsen hits a home run about every third at bat. They're pretty good.
The third baseman is. No one talks about him because they don't see him play, but he's also great.
I'm glad I don't drink when I watch baseball, though. Man, you're in for some long evenings. Wow.
Your liver would have given out by now if you drank when you watch baseball.
That's true.
Planning for a secure future requires sound investment advice. That's why I rely on my guy, Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold, for guidance in planning and maintaining a long-term financial strategy. This is Ricey, and I've known Josh for many years. I trust Josh and recommend him because he listens and delivers the kind of service that you'll need to feel confident about your financial future. I encourage you to get to know him the same way I did many years ago. Call Josh Arnold at 952-925-5608 and set up your 48-minute, no-obligation consultation. Call 952-925-5608. You'll always get straight talk, not sugar-coated advice. Call Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold, at 952-925-5608. Investment Advisor Services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a registered advisor in the state of Minnesota. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk.
Okay.
Yep.
Now we got to change topics to the topic of the day. Do you feel at all guilty about whipping the cousin's horse? 2 hours. Did we have a wine line? No, we didn't because we were up against soccer. We did it on
social media.
Okay.
And then 2 hours we did the weekday
Monday
event
morning.
Line on Monday. Yes.
Monday.
And then 1 hour today.
1 hour today. And then, of course, 2 hour radio shows from 4 to 6.
Yes.
So, let's see. 2, 4.
Hour on
five,
Sunday, if you want to quit.
7. 8 hours. 8 hours since the calamity. How much has been devoted to Cousins?
The Tuesday show was entirely about him. The Monday show was mostly about him. Yeah, most of it. Most of it, yeah.
Okay.
8 hours.
I can put up with all the Cousins bashing there is. But when they start comparing him with Ponder, I have an issue.
That wasn't me.
No, I know. But the reactionary reaction to this, that's a good phrase, has that, he's no better than Ponder. Ponder's peak was 2,900 yards. The 1 year he played.
Yes.
And they benched him by the middle of his fourth year.
Yes. So,
and he got hurt the 1 year. But let's not be ridiculous here.
Ponder
was. Although you would like to have Ponder perhaps trying to run away from this pass rush because he was at least an athlete, you know.
Ponder was a decent athlete, but Ponder didn't have the physical quarterback talent that Kirk has.
No.
But did you hear the statistics that I went through of Kirk in big games?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's alarming. What did I say? 5-27
against winning teams.
So just 500 above 500.
Did you see my solution?
Yes.
Don't let him look at the standings.
Yeah.
This is teams that were winning teams not when they played them, but when the year ended.
Among
5-27.
Among Patrick Royce's greatest regrets on your deathbed, where is the late emergence of Twitter going to come in? You know, if Twitter had been here in 1970, it probably would have ended your career during your drinking days, but man.
But wait, you got to remember, we weren't as sensitive.
True.
Good point. I mean, you could get away with stuff. Now, people would go back and find your old tweets and then get you fired because we're worried about, somebody rubbing up against a woman 20 years ago. That's going to bring down Boris Johnson in England now, who's an idiot. We're a little more sensitive to that stuff. I once in a while have to was, for instance, I was trying to make fun of the fact that we now have two prima donna receivers like we had with Carter and Moss. And how interesting is it is that we can unite Detroit Lakes, Minnesota with Montgomery County right outside D.C., the black kid from Montgomery County and the white kid from Detroit Lakes. When it comes to wide receivers, there's not that much difference. They want the ball.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But I had to pull my punches on how I tweeted that out a little bit, because you can't just, you know. But it is, there is a stereotype in that, too, that we assume that if you got a prima donna wide receiver, he's going to be a black guy or the black kid, right?
No, they all want the ball.
And it's nice that Thielen has now joined the thing. And Thielen, of course, being a, you know, tried to walk it back. But we know how much you can't stand the quarterback and the offensive philosophy, Adam. And being a feisty little SOB is the reason he is what he is.
Right.
You know, that he had no chance. Go down there and tackle people on special teams. And now he's catching 100 balls.
That position also, in all sports, has to be one of the most frustrating, because you can be really good.
Yes.
And if your quarterback isn't, you're screwed.
All right. But here's the deal. And I know everybody's talked about this, and I heard you guys talking about it. But what sense does it make to rip up Thielen's contract and give him a new big hunk of guaranteed money, 40, right?
Yeah.
And give Diggs 40.
Yep.
And then say we're going to run the ball. What? Then we're going to be a running team. What sense does that make? That makes no – and you got a $28 million quarterback who, you know, has passed for 4,000 yards.
When were the extensions given? Thielen was before last year.
No, but they gave it to him again. They ripped it up this summer. Gave him a new deal.
Or Diggs was before last year.
Yes, Diggs was before last year.
Diggs was before last year, and then Thielen was – Yeah. So with Diggs, you thought, because DeFilippo was going to come in here and Kirk was going to throw the ball.
Yeah.
This is all part of a problem of thinking that your offensive line and Kirk would be good enough to get people the football.
Yeah. And this,
and you can against bad teams. You can
and I guess one other thing is, wow, we're going to, I call it chop blocking, but what do we call that? Well, cut blocking.
Yeah.
We're going to have this cut blocking line so we can run the ball more. Well, what good does that do you in a pass rush? You know, what good does that do when you have to pass? You're telling these guys, we want you to be cut blockers and this is our thing, but by the way, now when they're running through you, you got to go back to being strong, bullish type guys. I feel sorry for Bradbury. He shouldn't be playing.
I agree.
O'Neal was given some time to develop and, you know, then had to play eventually because of injuries last year. But this kid shouldn't be playing.
I told you in Green Bay, I watched him, and he was being just thrown aside like a ragdoll.
So he's a big, monstrous kid. He's just not strong yet.
He's not strong, yeah.
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 He might be okay someday, but why do you – we drafted him number one, so he's got to play. No, he doesn't. Fine, you know.
Well, they could have drafted a left tackle as well.
Yes.
I think it was the Dillard kid who they didn't take there.
Mm-hmm.
This is all done because they're panicked about Kirk's contract.
Well, my theory is linemen, you know, rookie linemen, offensive linemen shouldn't be rushed in onto the field any more than quarterbacks should be.
Yeah, especially
I mean, this position. This position is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the hardest position in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the offensive line because you know, especially now that you have no idea what a holding penalty is.
Oh, this, yeah.
Have you ever seen a league, it's not going to be able to, but have you ever seen a league so determined to ruin itself, to make it unwatchable? What the hell are they doing? Every play you watch, you have to wait 6 seconds to find out if you actually saw it or not.
And you've been saying that for how long? Because now it's completely
Last year was, but this is this emphasis of a Seifert's piece, after 2 weeks, the rate of offensive holding penalties was triple or something, and then they toned it down in week three. But last week, every game I watched, there were 10. I was talking to my son in D.C., sitting across the living room, and we had a game on, whoever was the Sunday night game. I don't even know who the Sunday night game. No, that was last night.
That was last night.
I don't know who Sunday. And
no, Dallas and New Orleans.
We were on the phone for 5 minutes, and there were three offensive holding penalties.
Yeah.
You know, and which took up in the line. Three offensive holding penalties in the line, and they show them to you, and they show you the replay, and it doesn't look any different than every other play. You know, that there's no rule. There's no, this is holding and this isn't. There's none of that. It's just a whim.
It's basically if you see it, call it, but they don't see
it. And
it
if it looks like it, call it, yes. Even if it's not. I've told this story since week one. The Bears guy, the left guard, whoever it was, tried to hold, but he whiffed. But they called it anyway because the guy had his arms out. But he missed him. He didn't hold him, but they called it anyway.
No,
what
the
are they doing?
Intention to hold,
yes.
Chicago.
What are
he
they
wanted
doing?
To do it.
Why do they think? And you know what? This, I think it was this smarmy guy who was refereeing last night, this smart-ass 40-year-old whose crew, I don't even know who he is. But when I see him, I can't watch the game. They're gonna call 18 penalties. I don't even know. I think he's at a Super Bowl and stuff. I don't know what the guy's name is, but he makes me puke. You know, you can't watch the game. It's so simple. Call grievous things and always err on the side of not throwing the flag, and they err on the side of throwing the flag, which is really stupid.
The Eagles-Packers game. Thursday night, the first half of that game, every big play, I think you saw a flag up.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing? I don't get it.
And so no play is a play. And then if you don't have a flag, you have a challenge.
Yes. Yeah.
So what you see is not what you see.
No, you don't get to see anything. I thought college football was worse because you had a madman up in the, you know, with the authority up in the booth, and he doesn't want to sit up there for four quarters and not become part of the game, the drama. So all of a sudden, and he's just challenging everything for no reason. But I think the NFL is worse now.
Well, when you can call,
although college football still takes 4 hours. So.
Yeah, it's too long. But when you can call pass interference upon reviews of scoring plays now, and you don't immediately that out.
Yes, I had no idea. You know, A, Dalvin did pick the guy. Okay, but B, nobody in America until that moment knew that they were reviewing more than whether it was a touchdown or not. None of us knew that, you know, right?
No.
And we saw something over here.
No,
I mean,
the referee didn't know. He said, what are you looking at?
Yes.
He left his mic open and said, what are you looking at in New York?
Yeah.
And they had to relay to him, we're looking at a penalty that you guys didn't call. But then in Green Bay last week in the Eagles game, they threw a flag on Zach Ertz for the same penalty, offensive pass interference,
yeah.
And then New York had him pick that up.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
Then that's a touchdown. But as somebody said, Patrick, why, if they threw the flag, that killed the scoring play
mm-hmm.
on the field. So why are they looking at that play if it's no longer a scoring play?
Yeah, that's true.
It's no longer a scoring play.
Yeah. Okay.
It's now a penalty, but
and
you're
nobody
still
nobody challenged it. Philadelphia didn't challenge
no.
it. Okay.
No, they looked at it as a scoring play, which it wasn't.
Okay.
You're right. They have no idea what they're doing.
No, it is incredible. Anyway, the Vikings have the Giants. Okay, everybody's got Daniel Jones fever, and I heard Collar talking. He really likes him from watching him on tape, but he's going to throw up a clunker here. I think they go win.
And the Giants' defense is bad.
I think they go win, and we calm down the troops here. And then everybody next week will say it was – then the after Sunday's game, it'll be, it was a big overreaction. We don't have any problems in this locker room, blah, blah, blah. Same old crap. But there's nothing more fun, as I told you guys Monday. Sports talk was invented. The reason it was invented was for the local NFL team with big expectations, or at least good expectations, to throw up on itself. There's nothing
absolutely.
That beats it. With a red-ass coach, too. With
absolutely.
With a coach who gets prickly. That's good.
Football's the greatest, too, right?
Oh, it is.
Because down south, SEC football, if those teams do anything wrong, same thing happens.
Feinbaum.
Yeah.
Mediocre sports columnist in Birmingham.
Making millions.
Birmingham started a little radio show and invited fans from Auburn to call up and bitch about Alabama, and look what it turned into, an empire.
Yes, he's
turned into
millions.
An empire just because. Because the SEC, there's the NFL, and then there's the SEC. Yeah. And then even if you have better teams, even if it's not always the best conference, it's the conference that matters because of the passion that runs deep. And by the way, 10 years from now, that's the only place in the country that you're going to be getting football players. If you think they're dominant now, you know, the South is still going to have the old man who hits the kid upside the head and said, "You're going to go play football, you big sissy."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, up here. It's,
yeah,
I don't want
right.
you to play football. You're going to get
that's
hurt.
Soccer. Jonathan
yeah,
Harrison
yeah,
sport
go okay. play high or whatever, you know.
Or hockey.
Men's volleyball, whatever you're going to play. But it's going to be more and more dominant. Anyway. Going to be, we don't have to get into it too much, but this California thing, playing the athletes, is going to be, it's going to be an interesting quandary for the NCAA, isn't it?
What is the downside to people like us if the NCAA disappears?
Nothing. Nothing.
Like, we're talking about it like it might be, like they might be important.
Yeah.
What's their important, what do they do
well,
that's going
they create
to be missed?
The NCAA basketball tournament. They sell,
okay.
they sell the tournament.
Somebody else
they
can
sell the tournament.
Take
but,
care of that.
But the Power Five and the college football playoff has proved you don't need them.
Correct.
Because the NCAA has no power over that.
Right.
Except setting the rules by which you compete.
And the men's basketball tournament is going to be fine without them.
Yeah, you could just create it. You know, what they should do is throw 150 teams out of Division One, and you know, having 350 teams is ridiculous. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see because. Now, part of the clause is these kids can't take sponsorships that are in conflict with sponsorships the school has. So what's the problem? You know, if McDonald's isn't a sponsor for you and the McDonald's on Dinkytown campus wants to give some kid $100 a week to say, "I always eat burgers at McDonald's," what's the problem? I don't get it. Why are we upset about that? I don't.
Probably because, well, I could see why they're upset about it, but I don't care if they're upset about it.
No, I don't either. So I like, just, in fact, I like seeing them up.
But if the NCAA goes away, I got no problem. That's a good thing.
I have been anti-NCAA always, but since the Penn State thing, drove me nuts because this Emmert wanted to get up there and play Roger Goodell, and we're going to discipline a criminal matter that they have nothing to do with. That was going to be the prosecutors were going to take care of this just fine. You had no business being involved in this. And when they just did it to grandstand. And ever since then, the hell with them. I can't stand them.
And TV-wise, these conferences now have their own networks.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're necessary for TV, which is probably the most important thing for fans.
Yeah.
There's nothing they do that's important. And you know what else? The Gophers can hang the banner back up then.
Well, did you see that Georgie and the other UConn guys won that lawsuit to have their records restored?
No.
Not the championship or anything, but they have to put their statistics back in their honors, individual honors back in their record books.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no,
so Bobby
good.
Jackson, let's go. Let's get Bobby Jackson back in the
Hell
record
yeah.
book. Let's get him back in the record book. Come on. Let's go. I think I wonder if schools are going to, because of that court case, are going to start doing it automatically. But, yeah, put the banner back up. What's the NCAA going to do?
Absolutely nothing. At this point, too. Once the North Carolina thing happened, to me that was it.
That was it.
When we find out that the general student population, if they're cheating with the athletes, then it doesn't count as cheating. Okay, you're doing nothing.
So you and I were both at the last exciting Wild exhibition game with Winnipeg.
We both lasted two periods, too.
It's hard to believe that they're starting. The league starts Wednesday, and they start Thursday.
Correct.
Isn't this earlier than ever, October 3rd?
I
thought it was like a week later or something.
I don't know for sure, but the schedule is always goofy.
Yeah.
And this schedule
is
awful.
Well, they got 4 out of 15 home games or something like that to start this
season.
Their
home opener's not till a week from from Saturday.
Yes, but so I was talking to Leopold, and I'm going to write that this week before the thing started, and I said, okay, last time that the honeymoon was over, you pulled two rabbits out of the hat. July 4th, 2012, you and I came in. It was such a huge day. You and I came in to do a special two-hour radio show on Saturday. It must have been a Saturday, right?
No, it was like a Thursday, and you showed up, so I said, what the hell?
Yeah, so anyway, they signed Suter and Parisi. And I said, there's no rabbit to pull out of the hat this year, and things are fading. They aren't in as bad a shape as they were in 2012, I don't think. But because they had a lockout going for them then. And he said, well, I think I pulled a rabbit out of the hat again this time. And I said, what the hell are you talking about? And he said, Guerin, as the GM. And I said, there aren't going to be five people who buy a ticket because Bill Guerin's the GM. Now, he might be able to be the best GM you've had. We have no idea.
Yep.
But the idea that people are going to be enthused because Bill Guerin's your general manager and thus go to games? That's like expecting Timberwolf basketball fans to show up because Gerson Rosas has hired 25 assistants. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. So, it'll be interesting how long they try to keep the charade of the sellout streak alive, huh?
Yeah.
They've lost. They wouldn't give me a number on how many season tickets they've lost, but it's been sizable, I think, because they're running ads and you don't see it.
And the Twins are good now.
Yeah.
Which is going to hurt
the soccer team.
Hurt them. The soccer team, we've talked about this for ages, but if you're the Wild now and you're really not that good, you know, a lot of these families that spend their cash in different places are going to take it away.
Well,
and
what is happening,
I can't blame them.
What is happening is the white collar guys who didn't have company tickets, but who had three buddies who were hockey families, the four of them each bought 10 season tickets. You know, they bought season ticket package, they split it in fourths, you know, and then, okay, you're buying for 10 games. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. But now one guy after says, nah, I'm out. And that happened a couple, 3 years ago. I went through this with baseball tickets. And then the next year, you know, and now you got two guys out, you know, now two of those four are gone. So that means I got 20 games. And a lot of people say, I can't afford that. So anyway, that's the way that works.
And the product, until you show me different, isn't that exciting.
You got to score some goals.
Yeah.
That's
your poor grandson has to go to a game where they score a few times.
They did score in the exhibition he went to the other day. Too bad he wasn't at Sunday's. That would have been great. He would have saw more goals than he's seen in a lifetime. But
they lose 4-3 in OT, so they scored three goals?
All right, this Timberwolves thing was Monday media day. I got over there for the last 2 hours. It was hilarious. It was fantastic. The anti-Tibbs, the culture family, this is the new Timberwolves. The whole message was, the Tibbs bashing without mentioning his name was unbelievable. And my favorite was, which one of those guys? One of the new guys. Oh, Napier. Basically said that he's been told that they would rather take a contested three than an uncontested two.
Okay.
That's their new philosophy. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else said, yeah, one big advantage of shooting a lot of threes is long rebounds. So I'm saying, you know, I made a smart-ass remark about that, and Brower had a pretty good response. He says, chicks dig long rebounds. Chicks dig long rebounds. So in other words, yes, we're a horse bleep three-ball shooting team. We don't have any shooters because instead of this way, Cat doesn't have to get all the rebounds. We can play small because there'll be long rebounds and we can hustle to the long rebounds.
You'll never see the strategy coming.
No.
Bricks are us.
Which means if what we're looking for is long rebounds, we should get a Ricky back. Come on. We should get Ricky back.
Yeah, Ricky can miss the three.
Ricky
can miss a three.
Ricky, try to go back to shooting that flat jumper that hits off the front of the rim and goes bouncing back here 15 feet. That's what we want. We're looking for. It's comical.
Whole new meaning to Brick City.
Plus, here's the other thing. What has Every basketball coach except Tibbs ever hired said that the team was what was going to happen with the team.
Run.
We're going to run. We're going to play fast.
Run.
And what happened with every defensive coordinator that's ever been hired to save the Gophers or save, you know, aggressive? We're going to be more aggressive. Aggressive and run. They're going to run. Yeah, okay. We're going to just be speedy. And Teague, who dribbles the ball more than anybody in the history of basketball, was talking about how they're going to – he's really excited to play this kind of – you know, nobody stopped you from pushing the ball up the court and finding somebody, but you like to get the ball and dribble around the top of the key for 15 seconds and hope you could get by a guy.
Who's going to run the offense?
Well, we got your Teague.
Yeah, but who's
– got your Napier, and the Bayless is still around, although I got to think he's going to get cut, don't you? But those are their guards.
But are we gonna have?
But here's the outside thing they were talking about yesterday. I hadn't heard this. Jared Culver someday being the point guard. 6 foot six, isn't he?
Very new age.
Five, six,
very new age school.
Thing.
New
yes,
age.
Yep.
Okay.
But they were talking to him about that, and of course they want him to shoot more threes too. Which, if you watched him in the Final Four, maybe would be frightening.
So does the ball come down the floor, and then does it go to Towns on the perimeter? Is that
Towns
how
says
now?
He's gonna? That's gonna. Oh, he's in heaven. He's in heaven.
Of course, he
can go stand outside, facilitate, and not have to go in there and have Rudy Gobert kick the crap out of him. You know, how are they going to get a rebound? Supposedly,
long rebounds. They're all going to kick out to him.
Yeah, but if somebody happens
to the question.
But if somebody happens to miss a layup, how are they ever going to get a rebound?
Hope he kicks out a long ways.
Because Covington, they're talking about being the power forward. He's basically was guarding guards last year.
But
Towns was a softie.
Was Towns going to go inside at any point here, or is he going
to
stay?
I would think he's going to have to defend inside.
Yeah. But offensively, is he going to start on the perimeter and then go inside? And
I have no idea.
The ball's just going to go through him eventually?
But they got Kumbaya that even the Twins would be jealous of. Ryan's been running all over the country going to these guys' camps. And Covington was interesting yesterday talking about how he had a hard time dealing with the injury, such a hard time. He was grumpy around the house, and he had the wife and kids go visit mom or something. And then he went to see it. And Ryan gave him the name of a therapist, and then he went to a therapist, and now they're big buddies. So.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, everybody loves Ryan, but that's got nothing to do with winning any games, so... Anyway.
But the culture is fantastic.
Oh, culture. Culture, culture, culture.
Is the culture better at Target Field or Target Center?
Well, the Twins don't use the word as often, do they? I mean, that's...
No, but they definitely...
Oh, they do. I mean, that's...
Privately, it's written down on everyone's cheat sheet of how to be a
Falvey
Twin.
And Falvey mentioned it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of watched the buzzwords a little because we've made enough fun out of them. But those guys, you got to go pursue them. They'll talk to you, but there's no routine access.
Yeah.
Falvey and Levine.
There's injuries
or
something.
Like Terry, like with Ryan the last few years. Right. If you want to talk to him, he'll be down in the lunchroom for 15 minutes before the game. You know.
But Derek
none of that.
Derek doesn't tell you much. Thad can't help himself.
Thad's okay, but unless it's a controversial thing, and then he starts giving us that Haverford triple speak that we don't know, that we all have to run to the Oxford Dictionary to find out what the hell he's talking about. But
he might at least tell you a little something.
Oh, yeah. He
allows you
guy.
To know where things are.
I wonder if I got to think Shelton might get a managing job out of this season.
I think he will.
He should be. He'd be great. And
we should talk about your guy Gardy coming back, by the way.
And poor Gardy.
Everyone's coming back, but Steve Little, who's retired.
Little did say the hell with it. I'm going fishing.
Yep.
Little got in a run-in with, what did I read? Little got in a run-in with somebody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. He's the only guy. Uh-huh. Ricky Anderson's back. I think Lloyd McClendon might be moving to the bench coach job. But they're bringing everybody back, but Steve Little.
Yeah. Hey, I got a scoop for you. McCabe out as the Toledo manager.
Really?
They want him to be a hitting coach. Because last year he was told that he was too hard on the players, This year he was told he didn't have enough discipline. This is the, I mean, he's fine with Gardy, but he's, you know, he's apparently the Littlefield, the guy who used to be in Pittsburgh, is their farm guy.
Okay.
Apparently he's, he and Dougie, you know, Dougie's Dougie. And
so Doug's not going to get a job at this point, big league job.
Oh, God, no. No, but he's, Detroit wants him to stay and be a hitting rover or some damn thing.
Told him no thanks.
But, well, he hasn't told him anything because he got a contract. He's got a two-year contract that says triple A manager that he signed last year. So
okay.
And maybe he gets paid and leaves. But anyway, I'm not going to go into our conversation, but the Tigers organization could be in a little trouble.
I'm not surprised by that after this. What was it, 47 wins?
47. But they got lucky. They had a rainout. They'd only got to play 161. But they were they got to see their bad luck was Friday. They were ahead 4-2.
Oh, they could have had 48?
In the middle of the game, and then they got rained out, and then they had to play. Then they just canceled the game.
Are they going to just pay Cabrera to go? Is Cabrera?
They got
to
tell him.
What, he hit 9 home runs?
Yeah, but he led their team in RBIs with 58. 58.
This is 62 Mets bad. Like, this is comically bad.
Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal. And then they traded his best player, Castellanos, and didn't get much in return.
Yeah.
How about Madden? Didn't take him long to get rid of Brad Ausmus, did it?
How about that? So he's 2-for-2.
Yeah.
Renteria was the Cubs manager, right?
But it took a little longer, didn't it? It didn't take a week. I mean, this is taking... They might have a press conference at 6 o'clock tonight.
Do you think Madden and Theo drunk dialed the Angels executives and said, all right, he's gone from here?
That stuff makes me all... That makes me reek, too, that, oh, we're big buddies, we split a go. That's just typical Joe. You know, that, oh, Joe's just above it all, and he's just superior to everybody. But what the hell, I got him another job.
Yeah.
He's damn near, he's pushing 70, though, isn't he? Late 60s?
I thought he was around 63, I read.
I thought he was a little older.
63 or 64.
Well, anyway, he's...
hey, he got him a World Series. That's all they wanted.
Oh, yeah, what's the complaint? It is, we had Buster on yesterday, though. The Red Sox are funny. They fired Cherington because he was too focused on the farm department, on the minor league development. And they hired Dombrowski to win the World Series.
Which he did.
And he won the World Series, and now they fired Dombrowski because he wasn't focused enough on the minor league department. He said he thinks they're going to have a hard time getting a general manager because the image of the organization, the ownership meddling and is terrible in the game.
So
he said a guy like, you know, Falvey would seem to be a natural, but, you know, being a guy from out there. But he didn't think, and I don't think either, that he wanted to get into that mess, you know, because it's all of a sudden you got all that money tied up in three pitchers who all have troubles, and they want you to cut payroll by $40 million. That means they're going to have to get rid of Martinez. You know, they hope he opts out so they don't have to pay him.
Well, they came back and said that keeping Betts and Martinez was going to be tough, but to me, that's not, I mean, JD has to go then if you can get rid of him.
Yeah, well,
that's not a competition there. Mookie Betts,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the guy you got to keep because the fans will go nuts if you do that. So anyway.
Only 2 minutes left, Jonathan?
Yes.
Oh,
what's positive Pat?
Positive Pat.
Gophers, 4-0. Now, you know what? Let me say this. Purdue's pretty bad defensively, and now their quarterback's hurt. But they might have had their 4-0, and they might have had their clunker, Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
You know, that might have been the, okay, we played terrible, we didn't care, and we should have beaten them by 3 touchdowns, but we beat them at the buzzer. But that might have been the clunker, because you got Illinois now, you can't lose to them, even though you gave up 500 yards rushing last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now Maryland, which was supposed to be tough, 59-0, lose to Temple.
Whoa.
You know, they're 2-0. They've beaten Howard and overrated Syracuse, and suddenly they're rated, and they got Mike Loxley. No, it must have been the JV versus the sixth graders. Well, and then they lose to Temple, and kind of decisively, and then they get 59-0 with Penn State. Wasn't it 49-0 at halftime or something?
Yeah, I watched part of it.
Yeah.
It was terrible. So why did it take the Gophers so long, though, to just throw the damn ball?
I don't know.
These two kids, Bateman and Johnson, are...
Oh, and the other...
And Ottman Bell.
Ottman Bell.
And the kid, the quarterback, is fine. He's not great. Who cares?
Well, if they're running open.
Yes.
I can throw it. Yeah, he's
You don't
fine.
Need to run.
Well, they do have three running backs, too.
But Zim wouldn't like it, but you don't need to run.
Zim would have been very upset that his quarterback was 21 out of 22 yep. for 400 yards.
Can't have that.
It was. No, we got to run the ball. We got to kill the clock. Otherwise, if we'd run the ball more, Purdue couldn't have had a comeback. That would have been Zim's stage. I don't know. Good luck. I think Cousins will play good this week. They'll win, but I hope not for you sports talk show hosts.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, let's face it. A quarterback playing rotten for a team not meeting expectations. Everything you dream of hosting sports talk.
What a week. All right, Patrick. Yes, talk yes. to you.